Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I apologize for the brief delay in talking. The cat jumped on the desk just as the show was due to start. He knocked the phone off the hook. It's one of those days. So at any rate, welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here on the Upper East Side of New York, and Handsome, the cat here on the desk, is also saying hello after disrupting the beginning of the show. So what we're going to do today, or what we do every week, is we talk about the weekly weather, what's up in the heavens above, how it feels, what it looks like, how to work with it productively, what to do with it, and the energy of the cosmos. And as we watch it above us, we try and figure out what's going on with us here on Earth, and we have this understanding of as above, so below, and we work very much with the productive and useful ways of working with this energy. So this week, in line with Venus in Gemini stationing. The cat knocked the phone off the hook. The Venus is stopped in the sky right now, and she's going to be stopped there and go backwards through the end of June. So we're entering this very profound period of trying to figure out what we want, what we desire, what we need. Now, Venus is stopping at 23 Gemini, and that's a hot degree. A couple months ago, the moon had new moons on it. Last summer, the full moon eclipse was a 23 of Gemini Sag, and now Venus is stationing on that. That was the eclipse in June of 2011. And then Mercury stationed at 23 of Pisces, which, of course, woke up that eclipse point, too. And then Mars stationed at 23 of Virgo, which woke up the eclipse point. So what we've been watching is this eclipse point gets stimulated over and over and over again by what are called the personal planets. Venus, Mercury, and Mars are the personal planets in the sky. They're the planets that inspire us, that guide us, that help us, that really determine what we're here to do every day. Generationally, you know, we have the Jupiter, which is everybody born in our grade has that. Then we have Saturn, which is everybody born within 2.5 years of us, has the same Saturn. But our sun is our unique identity, our unique purpose, and the moon is our unique emotional nature that serves the sun, that helps the sun get its ego needs met. Whatever the purpose of your sun is, that's what you're here to shine on in the world, by house placement, meaning what house it's in, by sign placement, meaning what sign it's in, and then, of course, whatever the Leo house is in your chart, or the Leo houses if you have an intercepted house and you have Leo on two signs. So we always look to see what the sun's purpose is. That's your ego's purpose in this lifetime, what you're here to do. And then what are called the personal planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, and the moon, all support the sun in having that happen. Now, what they've been doing as they've been going around the zodiac is they've been talking and they've been stopping at 23. Now, the reason this is important was last summer there was an eclipse at 23, Gemini, Sag, full moon eclipse. Venus is now stationing on the degree of the sun from last June's eclipse, the one that happened towards the end of June, because we're still in Taurus land right now, but Venus is in Gemini stationing there. Mars stationed on it, Mercury stationed on it, and then, of course, the last week of June, Saturn is going to station at 22. Forming an aspect to it. Now this week, Saturn is stationing, he's at the degree of 23 talking to Venus. They're trying to each other, right? She's going to stop and then she's going to move backwards and he's going to continue to slow down. And he basically is sitting at the degree of 23 the whole month of June. Pushing, pushing, pushing. So there's a push from Saturn at 23, which takes us back to last fall, which takes us back to 1982-83. But the personal planets in this forming of a mutable T-square in the heavens are helping Saturn determine what you need, what each of us needs, in our own relationship life going forth for the rest of our lives, or the next 30 years of our lives, depending on how long you plan on living. I figure I'm out of here sometime in the next 30 years. But some of you youngsters, you know, you're going to have a Saturn return 30 years from now, and you're going to be going, yeah, I remember what was going on in 2012. I really got my path clear. I knew what I wanted to be in relationship to. Now, Saturn's exalted in the sign of Libra, exalted in the sign of relationships. He's also in what's called Gemini's decant. Each sign is divided into three parts. The first part is the pure part, Libra. The next part was Libra Aquarius, which was last year. We were working on our relationship with groups. Now, this year, with Saturn in the Gemini decant, we're working on what we were told about relationships when we were young. What our childlike mind believes about relationships. What our busy mind, our air mind, our communication, our what our siblings, what we were taught in grammar school, that basic baby mind, you know, the part that is often very young and a little unformed. It's not a bad thing, but it kind of goes, really? I can have this in relationship? Really? And Gemini is always about the back and forth, the duality. That do you want this or do you want that? So with Venus stopping in Gemini with Mercury in Taurus right now, okay, because Gemini answers to Mercury. Mercury's in an Earth sign, a fixed Earth sign. People are going to be really digging in for the next couple weeks about what they really want. They really, really want this. Because Taurus is possessive and it likes to hold on to things and it wants what it wants and it's very clear, I want this. Then Venus is going to go into Gemini. And she's going to get very loosey-goosey as she goes back. Actually, sorry, she's going to go back into, she's going to go backwards in Gemini, but Mercury's going to go forwards into Gemini. So Venus is going to be answering to Gemini and being very, very wild. When Mercury is in Gemini, ruling Venus in Gemini, going backwards, we're going to have kind of like a wild ride. And then Mercury is going to go into Cancer, which is all about nesting and what makes us feel deeply connected. So we've got this journey that Mercury is going to make while Venus is going backwards in the sign of Gemini. And really what you want to do is you want to look at it from the point of view of a student. You want to look at it from the point of view of beginner mind. You want to say to yourself, what did I learn? What have I learned in my life up until now about relationships? And you're going to come up with maybe not a good answer. Maybe you're going to go, you know, I suck at them, or relationships are really blah, blah, blah. Whatever your chart says about how you feel about relationships. But it's also really a reflection of your desire nature, how you get your desires met, because Venus rules your desires, what your sun wants to fulfill his ego purpose. So when Venus goes backwards, a couple things happen. Our desire nature is thwarted, meaning what we want we don't get. In the case of the people with Venus retrograde, this does not apply. But for those of us who have Venus direct, Venus going retrograde, our desire nature is kind of picked on, perhaps, a little bit. And we get clear. Well, what I really want is this. The other thing, because Mercury is in a fixed sign, is we're going to dig in a little about what we want. And that's just for a week. But the question you want to ask yourself is, what did I learn, right? And look at the positive lessons that came out of some of the harder experiences. So I went to see a Peruvian shaman who's in town for the month of whatever. She's in town for a month. I don't know when she actually goes back. I went to a dinner party with her and met her and really liked her and thought, oh, I have a reading. I've never had a reading by a Peruvian shaman. So as we were doing the reading, one of the things she kept saying is, well, what did you learn? And what did you learn? And what did you learn? So our job is to ask ourselves, and what did I learn? Because we think, because we're old, or because we're tired, or because we should know better, that we know all the answers. And really what Gemini says to us is, well, what did you learn? That there always are surprises under the sun. What did you learn? And so in her case, she said, well, what did you learn? And we were talking about some stuff, and I was like, well, I learned this, and I learned that, and I learned this, and how did what you learned help you in your life? And I went, well, how it helped me in my life was I learned this, and it helped me do this, and when I learned that, then it helped me do that, and when I learned this, and it helped me do this. And it was very interesting because what we forget, because we think we should be all grown up and know all the answers, which I always am like, nah. I got 75-year-olds coming in going, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, we never know. We're in a constant state of evolving and growing and shape-shifting and figuring out who we are and what we're here to do. There are no pat answers. There really is just listening to your inner guides, your inner guidance, and following your heart's desire. But it was interesting to go through the, well, when I had this experience, what it taught me was this. The positive from that teaching allowed me to then go and do this. So over the next few weeks, when you're running into smack dab into boom, fixed wall of Mercury and Earth saying, I don't think so, I'm not doing that, you want to kind of soften that Mercury and you want to say to it, so what did you learn? Now, you're going to expect to hear negative lessons. Well, what I learned was you can't blah, 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 you know, the negative version. Because Gemini is the monkey mind. It's the mind where we give ourselves a really, really, really hard time, and we talk trash to ourselves, and we go, you know, it's never going to happen. No one's ever going to love me. I'm always going to blah, 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 whatever that is. The negative form of Mercury, especially when he's in fixed Earth, because he's going to pull up all that old crap that you thought you had handled. And voila, it's back. And you're like, holy shit, I thought I handled all that. I thought I spent all that money on therapy. I dumped that guy. I broke up with that woman. I banished them from my lives, never to be darkened by their door again. And here I am. It's happening again. Now, the reason it's happening again is because they were transits in your chart. They were people that came into your life to teach you something. And good, bad, or indifferent, however you learned that lesson, or didn't, because sometimes we don't learn it, and we have to go to remedial school. However, well, handsome, get down, honey. He is just out of control lately. I know, get down. Go on, get down. You're on my stuff. Thank you. That's what happens when you have a really old, very cranky cat who thinks the desk is his. And I can't get him to understand I pay the rent. It's my desk. I'm a slave to the cat. All right, when we look at these relationships, including the relationship with your cat, or your dog, if your case may be. In this case, we bow out to Scott and Maeve out up there in Maine, and Caitlin. So we do this whole vision of what we're doing, what our vision is. Our relationships repeat over and over and over again, with the idea being we're supposed to be learning something and moving up to the new thing. Our Venus continually pulls in the same kind of stuff, or, you know, a different version of the same thing. And our job is to go, wow, there it is again. What have I learned? What have I come to understand? And so your job as the universe is trying to pollinate your brain, okay, is trying to give you a vision of yourself as a new being. But remember, those planets come along like little bees, like little butterflies, like little bats, like little caterpillars, and they pollinate your brain. They pollinate you to make you create the fruit of your life. That's what relationships are for. Pollinating to create the fruit of your life. Now, you may not like the pollinator. You may not like the pollinator, meaning you'd prefer it to be a bee rather than a bat, or a butterfly rather than a caterpillar, because the caterpillar is going to eat your leaves, and the butterfly is just going to whack you a little and fly off. But what we're doing now is we're having cosmic pollination by Saturn. I mean, to think of that image. Think about little bees flying around, buzzing from flower to flower. All your relationships are cosmic pollinators. And Venus, of course, rules flowers. She rules the springtime and the beauty and all the glowing, and when all the bees are happy, the birds and the bees. And she invites us to pollinate our life and to say, okay, I got pollinated by that bee. I really did not like it. But I got pollinated. It's going to help me bear fruit. It's going to help me create the life I need. And if I got pollinated by something I really didn't like, then I have to go, okay, that really didn't really work for me, but it doesn't mean I can't bear fruit from it. I still got pollinated, right? And giving that pollen and the understanding of that aspect, that awakening of you, and to understand that relationships are multiple variant, multiple energies. We get all different kinds of relationships in our lives for all different kinds of reasons. We get a relationship from Saturn to our Venus, from Pluto to our Venus, from the Moon, from the Sun, from Mercury, from Mars, from Jupiter, from Venus, from Chiron, from Saturn, around again, and it goes again, and it happens, you know, every month the Moon pollinates. It's understanding that we're in constant pollination, ripening, expansion. So this week, because one of the things that happens when Saturn's in a sign is it gets a little frayed, it's not going to get pollinated. So if you're sitting going, I don't think I'm ever going to have a relationship. I don't think I'm ever going to get what I want. Venus is a want. She's a desire planet. I want you to think back on all the things you've wanted and you've gotten and all the things that you've looked at and you said, yeah, that was pretty good. I had a good time with that. It doesn't matter how it ends. It doesn't matter if the fruit gets picked, falls off the vine, or rots, right? It always ends. Every relationship ends. It's how it began. It's what it taught you. It's what the process was. It's what the vision was. So this week we're going to be talking about pollination, and we're going to be thinking about our relationships, because let me tell you, when Venus goes retrograde till the end of June, a lot of the old relationships come back. Now, either you hear from them, or you run across them, or you run across something that reminds you of them, right? So in the mail this week, I got a package from a cousin who I don't know at all, really. I mean, I've met her probably 5 times in my entire life. And she wrote, and she said, I have this picture that your grandmother painted, and I'm going to mail it to you. So I'm like, okay, mail it. That would be great. Mail it to me. And my granddaughter got a hold of it, and I didn't want her to ruin it, so I'm mailing it back. I think it should come back to the Ortleys. And if you don't want it, pass it to one of your siblings. And she goes, I think it's your mother. I'm like, okay. So it's Mother's Day, of course. I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm getting a picture my grandmother painted of my mother. Well, it's me. It's a picture of me on the beach in Savannah. It's called Little Girl by the Sea. Now, a few of those of you who know me well know I have a Pisces moon, and one of my favorite things of all times is going out to Fire Island for 3 days a week every weekend in the summer, and oceans have a special call for me. And I'm like, wow, this is a picture of me from my grandmother and, of course, my mother, my maternal line that arrived right before Mother's Day and made me think back on my relationships with the beloved women in my life who have passed on, and also with the other women who have nurtured and cared for me, and some of the men who have been very maternal and nurturing, because mothering is not just a female thing. We can have nurturing from the men too. And the nurturing, the caring, the people who helped create us, the people who pollinated us, who raised us and helped us to bear fruit in our lives. And so on Mother's Day, in this lovely month of May, we have this energy of Venus stopping, answering to Mercury and Taurus, saying, who pollinated you? Who helped you grow to become the person you are? And let's reflect on those lessons, and let's reflect on what they taught you. Because sometimes we learn because we didn't like it. And we go, I really hate that. And other times we learn because it was delicious. It was delicious and delectable, and we couldn't imagine like living without it. And that's the other kind of Venus. So we're working with Venus this week because she stops. We also have the Sun running from 24 Taurus into Gemini. He enters Gemini on May 20th. But as he goes through Taurus, the back end of Taurus, he has a sesquiquadrate and a hard aspect to Saturn on Monday, asking us to make some kind of adjustment and to understand what it is we truly, really want. He also hits Admetos on the 17th, which is an ending of some sort, where you say, I think I'm done with that. And then he also aspects the nodes of fate by declination on the 19th, which means he gets in touch with a choice about how we're going to go forward in relationship. And I really want you to think of it that it doesn't matter how you got pollinated by that relationship. The fact is you got pollinated, and now you can bear fruit from it. And don't let bad relationships prevent you from bearing fruit. The other thing we have this week is we have our first eclipse. We're in eclipse season. The eclipses are coming. There's an eclipse next Sunday at zero Gemini, a new moon eclipse. At the very, very back, as the sun enters Gemini, right after it enters, about 8 hours later, it bangs up with the moon. And we have an eclipse that is going to be at zero, which means the stuff at 29 of the fixed gets stimulated, and the stuff at 01 of Gemini or any of the mutables get woken up. And this is a new moon eclipse, so we're going to think. Now, one of the things with this new eclipse coming is actually is a really positive one. It's success for hard work, okay? And I remember saying to one of my astrology teachers, how can the astrologer schedule the convention during eclipse season? And then I thought, let me go look up what these eclipses are about, because eclipses have themes. And this is an eclipse that brings success for hard work. So if you've been working really hard at something, this is when you should get a little bit of a payoff under this eclipse, in this eclipse season. You should see it. It should wake up. It should be like, oh, my God, I get it. Mercury runs from 9 Taurus to 22 Taurus. He is moving fast, but he's in Taurus, which means Venus answers to him, which means everybody in the sky is talking back to Mercury in Taurus, including the sun in Taurus, goes back to it, and then when it gets to Gemini, it goes back to Taurus. Taurus, pollination, abundance, growing. Mercury is a really busy little bee when he's in the beginning degrees, so he is all over the place. But he's all over the place in a very solid, reliable, and dependable manner. So I want you to really pay attention to what you learn and find out this week, because Mercury in Earth sign is giving you information. Not to judge it, just to gather it. Be a pollinator. No judging. They don't worry about the kind of pollen. They just bring it back to the hive, and then they make honey out of it. We're going to make honey in the next couple weeks. This week you're gathering the pollen. Then we have Venus stationing on Tuesday the 15th. She also has a couple crabby aspects with Pluto, suggesting a triangle energy on the 16th where there's some kind of drama. Mars is very irritable this week. He's at 9, and he's arguing with Saturn, with Pluto, with Chiron, and Poseidon. Okay, so Mars is crabby. Now remember, he's going direct. He's resolving the issues that were unresolved from November timeframe of last year, because he's going back over those degrees. And he's waking them up, and he's saying, you know, we've been struggling with this since last November. Now I know what I want to do. And I have a vision of where I'm going. And we also have Jupiter in conjunct to Saturn. This is a, what kind of in conjunct is it? It's a Virgo type, so it's a health adjustment. So we can have a little stress health-wise, because Jupiter and Saturn are in a Virgo type in conjunct, arguing with each other. And then we also have Pallas Athena leave Pisces, where she's a little sacrificial, and she's looking at their souls, and she's going to go into Aries, where she's warrior goddess. That happens on the 18th. So she kicks a little butt when she hits Aries. But in the meantime, between now and the Friday, she's going to be very much in the sensitive, emotional mode, because she understands big picture. And then we also have Jupiter sesquiquadrate Pluto on the 17th, which is a stressful aspect that you can take action on to get ready for moving. So it's a big moving forward. And then we also have Juno. You can see it's going to be a big week. We also have Juno entering Scorpio. Now, mind you, she's going retrograde. So she's leaving Sagittarius, and she's entering Scorpio and going to get intense. So relationship energy gets really intense on the 17th. Of course, Venus is retrograde, so when Venus is retrograde and Juno's in Scorpio, that's Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction boiling the bunny. No boiling bunnies, people. Not a good week for doing it. It is a good week for clarification, for investigation, for seeing what's happening, not judging it, not taking it personally, allowing it to simply pollinate, allowing it to say to you, and what did I learn from this? What was the learning? Yes, that was a difficult situation, but I learned from that. So I was talking earlier today to someone who is having a Pluto transit, and they'd called for another reason, and we got talking about Pluto, and then all of a sudden the half an hour reading turned into an hour, and I'm like, I'm really sorry, but we needed to talk about this. It's like, I know. And I told the story of when I had a Pluto transit. I'm Aquarius rising. The way you can get me to do stuff is tell me I can't. And then I go, yes, I can, and I go do it. And that's how my father motivated me. My mother was always like, whatever. My father would be, you can't do this. And I go, I can, so. And then I'd go off and do it. He's an Aries. I'm Aquarius rising. You know, the whole Virgo sun business. You get the picture. So I get a boss who's an Aries. So we automatically have projection and transference there. And he starts saying to me, you can't do it. And I go, yes, I can. And then I'd go do it, and I'd bring it back. And unlike my father, who, of course, was saying you can't do it to get me to do something he really wanted me to do, this guy would go, that's not what I wanted. And I'd be like, it is so what you wanted. I have it written down right here. And we were in such a power struggle. He was such a friggin' asshole. But it got me really clear. By the end of it, when I worked out what the hell was going on, because it does take a while when you're having these kind of transits, and trust me, you're working it out. You are working it out. You're not supposed to be perfect. You're not going to know it right off the bat. You figure it out through trial and error. I got to, wow, he's doing the trigger my father used to do, except because he hates my guts, he's not going to, he's not happy about me having accomplished it. You know, with the result being I was put on a performance plan. I sold a $130,000 system. My performance plan was to sell a $30,000 system. He fired me the next day. I'm like, wow. But it got the point across, okay? And what the point was, when someone says to me, you can't do that, I go, yes, I can. And then I take a pause, and I take a little moment, and I go, but do I want to? That was my learning from that difficult boss. We learn from our relationships, good, bad, or indifferent. The good ones, we can totally say what we learned. I learned what love was. I learned what contentment was. I learned how to build a business. I learned how to make a sales call. Whatever, we learned from the good ones. From the bad ones, we learn a lot of stuff too. So this week, a list of your relationships. This is your project for now until the end of June. What the relationship taught you and the good parts that it taught you. Not just the bad stuff, but the good things it taught you too, because it does always teach us good things. Now, we are in a balsamic moon approach to the new moon. So this is a really, really good time this next week to clear a lot of stuff out of your life, to release things, to let things go, to get rid of stuff, because we're a balsamic approach to an eclipse. Okay, adds extra power to the releasing. Great time to release bad habits. Great time to release stuff you don't need. Great time to end relationships you really want to have leave. And if you really want a relationship to stay, make sure to follow up with it next week if you have a big fight. Because if you blow up this week, it can never come back. So the moon is in Pisces on Monday and Tuesday morning with a sextile to the sun. So that's easy. Moon is void all day Tuesday. Okay, Tuesday is a void moon day. Wednesday, the moon is in Aries. Tuesday night, the moon's in Aries. Wednesday, the moon's in Aries. Thursday through 5:44, the moon is active in its opposition to Saturn. So that's releasing. Tuesday night, Wednesday, all day Thursday. Thursday night, moon's in Taurus. Friday all day, the moon's in Taurus. I'm sorry, Thursday night, the moon's in Aries. Friday all day, the moon's in Taurus. Saturday, the moon is in Taurus. With a closing aspect of a conjunction to Jupiter. That's a nice one, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday, the moon is in Gemini after a long void moon all day, okay? And the Gemini moon has a lovely closing aspect of a trine to Saturn. So great for releasing Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Great for bringing new things in Monday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday night. Friday, Saturday. Actually, Monday, Friday, Saturday. I take that back. And then Sunday, lovely, even though it's void. So your job, should you decide to accept it, is when people are complaining about things this week, look at them and say, so what did you learn? That relationship pollinated something in your being. What grew? What fruit grew? Now, obviously, if it's a rotten fruit, you want to suggest to them they clean out their refrigerator and throw that fruit away. If it's a good fruit that they want to keep, or it grew something they like, encourage them to thank the universe for it and say, send more bees my way, or bats, or butterflies, or whoever, and pollinate me some more. I want more of that good fruit. Okay? No bad apples. all apples. It's just whether you like apples or not. So on that metaphorical note, we're going to hang up. The British lady spoke. End of the show. Have a great week. Watch for the eclipse. Release, release. Watch for the pollination. Watch for the desire nature to rise up when Venus stops. And look at it and say, and what have I learned from you? Ask old Venus a question. She loves to answer what she has taught you, because she is in Gemini talking to you, teaching you stuff. And there's two sides to everything, including every relationship. There's the good side and there's the bad side. And with Gemini, we always are working with the trickster energy of Venus, as she invites us and seduces us, and then she goes, because that's what Venus does. She giggles when she's in Gemini. So have a wonderful week. Take care. Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk here on the Upper East Side, and happy Mother's Day to all those mothers on this plane and other places. Take care. Bye-bye.